Tonight's shiur in Parshas Truma, brought to you by the wine lots of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. So it just starts out, Ve'idaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, V'yikhu li Truma. Famous Rashi, V'yikhu li Truma, Hashem says, take from me Truma, li, says Rashi, li li Shmi, Shabi l'shem Shemaim. So what's the kesher of li, lishmi, that Hashem's name, and giving truma? What does Hashem's name have to do with lishmi, Hashem's name, what does it have to do with giving truma? So the Arizal says, because if you examine a rich person giving a poor person staka, we find there a remiss to the Shem Hashem. How so? The arm of the asher, that represents a vav, it's a line, vav. Five fingers of the asher, that's five, that's a hey. He gives a little coin, that's like a yud, especially if it's 10 shekels. And the five fingers of the ani, that's the hey. So we have vav of the arm, five fingers hey, coin yud, and the five fingers hey. Yud ke vav ke. So when one gives staka, there's a rem is there to Shem Hashem. Truma li lishmi. And the chidah found in remiss to that in the following pasuk, Asher Varash Nifchushu. You have a rich person, a poor person that like meet up, and he gives them a staka. What is the, how does the pasuk end? Oseh kulam Hashem. Makes him Hashem by giving the staka. Also, there's another remiss here. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Trumas, Perek Dalet Mishnah Gimel. It says that if a person, when he gives truma, mina Torah, there's no shir, but the chachamim gave a shir. If you want to give ayin tova, you want to give a lot, so you can give 1/40. If you're an average giver, you give 1/50. And if you're stingy, you give 1/60. So they say, Zarem is to the, says, vayikhu li truma, li in gematria is 40. So give it to me, from the best, not like a stingy person. Li, lishmi. Li is 40, 1/40. However, I saw this last night, Balaturim, and he says there's a remiss to all three, not just the 1/40, the ayin tova. How so? Just because the pasuk continues, v'ichuli truma me'es kol ish. So kol in gematria is 20, and 30 is 50. So that's a remiss to the Beinonis, 1/50. And if you take the first of the Rashi Tevas of Me'es Kol, Mem Kaf, Mem and Kaf is 60. There's a remiss to 1/60, the Ayin Ra. So the remiss to all three there, says the Baal Torah. Another remiss. Truma in Gematria is 651. So if you take the word Shalem, Shin Lamed Mem, that's 370. You take the word Rafe, Resh Pei Aleph, that's 281. So Truma, therefore, 651, equals Rafe Shalem. Now, if you add Shem Hashem to Rafe Shalem, what's Shem Hashem again? Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you add two of the letters to each word. To Rafe, you add the Vav and the He, turns into Refuah. Right? Resh Pei Aleph, but you add the Resh Pei Vav, and then Aleph, and then He, you add the Vav He. And you take Shalem, and you add the other two letters of Shemesh, and the Yud K, and you have Shin Lamed, you add the Yud, and you have the Mem, and you add the He. So it turns into Shlema. So you have a Truma, which is Rafe Shalem, if you add a Shemeshem to it, it turns into Refuah Shlema, which is a remez to Staka. Tatzil mimavis. Truma, if you give the truma and you add the Hashem to it, then it's saved from death. You have a refuah shlema. We got to be giving the Shem Shemayim. So how do we know, how can one know, with a little hint, if he's seeing, if he's giving L'Shem Shemayim? So there's a maisa with the Rav Chaim Mivolozhin. He wanted to start up his yeshiva, so he went to his Rebbe, the Gra. And he went to his Rebbe, says, oh, I think it's a tremendous need to have a yeshiva. And he told him all the reasons why. So the Gra just looked at him and said, no. So he said, wow, you know, he thought it would be a great idea. He said, no. So okay, turn around and then build a yeshiva. A couple of years later, he came back to the Gra, and again, he's same time as he says, you know, I really think it's a necessity for yeshiva, make yeshiva. The Gra says, yeah, good idea, make it. So he asked his Rebbe, the Gra, he said, I don't understand. Mikara my kasava, sof my kasava. What did you hold originally? Well, now, same thing. I basically said the same time as before. You said no. Now, yeah, what? So the Gra says, because the first time you asked me, you're all excited. But oh, yeshiva, all this islamas. And so when there's a lot of islamas, that's a sign that there's the Yetzer Hora is there. You know, he wants to push you and getting you all excited. But so I noticed, so I don't want you to, didn't want you to build the yeshiva based on the Yetzer Hora. However, now, when you came to me a second time, you're nice and calm and cool, collective, you know. So now, see, there, you're not being, there's no excitement there. See, it's not, the Yetzer Hara is not pushing you in there. So no Yetzer Hara. So now is the time to build yeshiva. It says in Perikafe, Pasuk Yud, V'asu Aron Atzei Shitim. So the famous question everybody asks is, why is it Lashon Rabim? V'asu Aron. Right, by the other kelim, vasisa shulchan, vasisa menorah. It's always vasisa singular. You should make singular. Now, why does it say v'asu plural? So, a couple of ideas. One idea is that the Gemara in Yoma says that there are three ktarim, the three crowns. There's the Keter Kohuna, the Keter Malchus, and the Keter Torah. Keter Kohuna was given to Aaron. The Keter Malchus was given to David. And the Keter Torah, kol arotze lito yavo vito. However, when it comes to Torah, it wasn't given anybody, anybody wants and come, can take it, free for the taking. Memele, now we can understand why by the other Kalim represent the Kahuna, Malchus, whatever there, it's written singular, because it's a specific. Whereas the Aron, that represents the Torah, which contained the Luchos, the Torah. When it comes to the Aron, anybody can take it. That's why, dafka the Aron is written in plural, v'yasu. It's up for grabs. Anybody could take it. There's a tongue-in-cheek, they say, concerning this, how the Torah is up for grabs. There's an expression, Ein muktam umuchar b'Torah, right? That means, really, that the Torah is not written in any specific order, etc. Something rewritten later, which maybe even happened during, it wasn't written in chronological order, necessarily. However, based on what we said, they say tongue-in-cheek, that a person might want to malchus, so he said, no, kfar ikdimu otcha. It's not up for grabs. Right? Why? You're not from Shevet Yehuda, whatever, you can't be a king. You want to be a Kohen? Kfar ikdimu otcha. No, you can't be a Kohen either. Sorry about that. When you want Torah? Oh, ain't muktam ufacha Torah. There's no muktam Torah. You want Torah, that you can take. That's up for grabs. Zemaisith Rav Shach speaking about Torah up for grabs. So Rav Shach said that there was once a elderly man he was once speaking with, and he wanted to tell him a story about one of the Gedolei Poskim. Okay, so this man, this older man, tells him, you know, when I was in yeshiva, when I was a bachur, there was one of the bachurim in yeshiva. He was mamish. He had like really hard, you know, head. Couldn't understand anything. And okay, everybody, you know, more or less, some people understand more or less, but this kid couldn't understand anything, right? He had a line of the Gemara, and okay, that'd be bad enough, but the problem was, he wouldn't let up, and he had to understand, and he kept bugging us. He went from one bach, and then, explain me this line, and he would try to explain it. Okay, tried that. And then he went to another guy, no, I don't understand it, so he began, and keeps bugging the guys over and over again, explaining his line. Finally, he understood the line of the Gemara, he goes back to his seat, 2 minutes later, can you explain me the next line? And bugs this guy back. The guys went crazy, they couldn't take him anymore. Anyway, he says, I had Rachmanis on him, the older man said, I had Rachmanis on him, because I saw how hard it is for him, and he can't learn, and this, and everybody was like chasing him away, so I felt bad for him, so I took him, you know, by my side, okay, let me help you, and I answered his questions, even though, anyways, even as patient as I was, I just couldn't take it anymore either. Got to a point where I just said, no, get out of here, I can't tell you anymore. I chased him away, and he walked, you know, sheepishly away from me, and you know, his head down, like, you know, embarrassed a little bit, and what can I do? I couldn't take it anymore. It was driving me crazy. So I see him a few minutes later in the corner of the Beis Medrash, like with like a sefer. It wasn't a gemara. It was like some type of a sefer, and sitting there and his head down the side in the end corner of the basement. So I decided to sneak up behind him and see what is he doing. So I look, I sneak behind him, and I see he's, sure enough, he's not holding gemara. He's holding a sitter. And I peek over and listen, and he's opened up to the Birkas Kriyat Shema, and he's reading over again, Mesein Bili Beinu Lehavin. He's like, Davin Hashem, Hashem, please, let me understand. So when I saw that, he says, my heart just broke. You know, I was sitting there, Davin Hashem, please, let me understand. You know, so I just couldn't. So I went up to him, I said, okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. He said, now next to me, I can ask me whatever you want, whatever. And I did. So he concluded his story, and he told Rav Shach, he says, and that Bacher ended up being one of the Gedolia poskim. He said, and me, he says, who am I? I'm nobody. And he said, what's the difference? He was a real, real Mavakish. He had to understand, and because of that, look what it became of him, look what it became of me. Okay. That's another idea why it says Vasu and Lashon Rabim, plural, by the Aaron. So, and they say that the people that are learning Torah, very often they're people without money. Right? They don't have money, they're in kola, whatever. And very often the rich people, they don't have Torah. You know, they're busy working. So, everybody has their chisrono. So what did Hashem do? He created this concept called Yisachar Zevulun, so that the, poor people would be supported, that are learning Torah, will be supported by the rich people. And therefore, that's why by the Aaron, by the Torah, it's written Vesu, plural. Because by the Torah, it's usually a combo. Because the person can't support himself, he's just sitting and learning all day, he needs help. So the rich person supports him. So Torah is plural, it's Vasu, it's a combination. The Paris Yosef says the hint in the bracha we say, Borei nefashas rabos v'chesronam. Kodesh Baruch Hu creates nefashos rabos, many nefashos with their chesronos. Some people are chisaron of Torah, because he's busy working, and some chisaron of money, because he's busy learning. Borei nefashas rabos, but what? What's the goal in the end? But in the end, the goal is, Ali lachayos behem nefesh kol chai, so that they can all live together. In the end, have olam haz and olam haba, right? Because the poor person has olam haz, being supported by the rich person, so he has life in this world. And the rich person doesn't have Torah, has life in the next world, because he's supporting the Talmud Chacham. So it's lachayos behem nefesh kol chai, to give them life, both to give life. However, this idea of the Yisachar Zevulun could apply to an individual as well, right? Because there's people learn, but they also have to take care of their bodily needs, their parnasa, whatever it might be. So we have both in us. In each individual, we have our Yisachar Zevulun. We have our times we're learning Torah, Tefillah, whatever, that's our Yisachar times, and we have our times we have to work, whatever, that's our Zevulun. So we just have to be careful, though, not to mix these times up, as it were. They say the mashal, there was once a wagon driver, whatever. He was getting older, and he started to make a cheshbon nefesh. He says, you know, I haven't hardly learned in my life, and what's going to be? I'm going to the next world. I'm not going to have, Torah. So he went to the Rav, and he said, can you give me an eitzah? So the Rav said, sure, I'll give you an eitzah. What's that? He says, well, I'll support a Talmud Chacham, and you get a chelik in his Torah. And then Yisachar Zevulun. That's how you can get your Torah. You know, it's a little bit late, you're right, to start sitting and learning, whatever. But you can support a Talmud Chacham, and you have his Torah. He says, okay, very good. So he says, you're interested? 100%. He says, okay, come to yeshiva tomorrow, and I'll find you by then a partner. So he goes, good. So he comes to the base medrash next day. He walks in. It was the middle of the winter. Walks in from the out cold. Ah, nice warm base medrash. They're sitting drinking their teas and coffees over the Gemara, Geshmak, whatever. Okay, so he's pointed out. He goes, see that bachur over there? He's your partner. Out of reich or whatever, he's your partner. So he says, oh yeah, great. So he goes over, taps him on the shoulder. He goes, I heard we're partners. So he says, yeah. He says, oh, wonderful. And maybe we'll drink a lechayim. He says, sure. He takes out a cup, right? Drinks a lechayim. So he says, wonderful. So now we're partners, yeah. So the wagon driver says to the avreich, okay, now we're partners. Here's the story. Tomorrow, I'm coming to the Beis Medrash. you're heading out with the agala. You're going to go to the paris, deliver him 200 sacks of tefuah. From then you have to make the other delivery to the thing, whatever. And then come back. I'll be here in the base medrash, and then I'll tell you next where to go or whatever. And he goes, hello. He says, yeah, we're partners. Remember, we're partners. So he said, I think you got the partnership a little bit mixed up over here. So too with the person, we said we're partners with ourselves. Yisachar Zebulun, but sometimes people get their partnerships mixed up, you know. And instead of when it's supposed to be davening and having their mind on the tefillah, their Yisachar, what happens? Their mind's on their Zebulun, you know, on their business deal. What should I do with that? Whatever. They get their Yisachar Zebulun a little bit confused there. Okay. Speaking of which. Let's go on. It says, "B'tabas ha'aron yu habadim lo yasiru." Also, Lagabe Achzakas Torah, Chavetz Chaim used to say that the Aaron had these staves, and the staves that were in the side, as the Torah says, lo yasiru, you're not allowed to take it out. And never. In other words, even when the Aron was not needed to be carried anymore, like when it was in the Beis HaMikdash, just sitting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and no carrying it anywhere, still it always stays. So the staves are a remnant to those support the Torah, like the handles, they're supporting the Torah, and the Aron's the Torah. So it has to, once somebody is, we see from here, somebody who supports the Torah stays with them forever. In other words, he gets his schuyas in Olam HaEmes as well. Stays with them forever. There was once someone who was a supporter of Torah, and he asked Rav Shach, what's the chelik in Torah? What chelik in Torah does a supporter in Torah get? So Rav Shach said, it was already paskin down here in this world by the Chafetz Chaim, whatever he paskins, that's accepted in Shemaim. And Chafetz Chaim said, the Farish, that it goes according to how much support you give. In other words, if you take an avreich, and you support him 100%, then you get 100% of his Torah in the next world. If you support him half, so half of his what he needs to get by, you get half of his Torah accordingly. And it works the other way as well. Let's say you have enough means to support two avreichim. So then you get double. You get his Torah and his Torah, more than each individual himself. So as a result, another person was a big machzik Torah. So he asked Rav Shach. He said, "You know, I was thinking maybe I work so much. Maybe I'll kind of close up shop and sit down and learn. So what do you think?" So Rav Shach told him, "Listen, if you're interested in Olam Hazeh." In other words, you want the sweetness of the Torah, whatever, and that's why you want to sit and learn. Okay, you want the sweetness because it died. Fine. But if it's Olam Haba you're after, that's not the derech. Why? He told him this before. So he says, make the cheshbon. Like you're supporting hundreds of avreichim with your money. So if you just support one avreich, you get his Torah. You're supporting hundreds of avreichim, you're getting all of their Torah. If you sit down and learn, you'll get the schar of your one, of your learning Torah. We're not going to schar to these hundreds of people. So he says, as far as Olam Haba, you enjoy, you want the enjoyment of learning, the Geshmak, fine, okay. But if you want Olam Haba, he says, where you are now, he says, Alavai, my chelik should be like your chelik, he told the guy. He said, I'm just learning my, you're like supporting hundreds of people, you're getting all their Torah. So in the next world, I wouldn't be so quick to change. Let us continue. It says, Pasuk Kafe, Perak Kafe Slicha, Pasuk Yudches, it says, Vasisa Shnaim Kruvim Zahav, Mikshet Haseosam. So the language here is somewhat difficult, because when you say, you're describing two Kruvim, how do you say it? You would say Shnei Kruvim, two Kruvim. Why Shnaim Kruvim? Shnaim Kruvim is like Echad, Shnaim, Shalosh. When you're counting, you say two. But when you're saying two of something, you say Shnei Kruvim, not Shnaim Kruvim. What's Pshat, Shnaim Kruvim? So the Gra explains that the word, the difference is, then when two things are exactly alike, then the Lashon Shnei is used. Shnei thing, two things, when they're two things that are exactly alike. If they're not on Zakdek, then you would say Shnayim. Okay, for example, classic is the on Yom Kippur. You take Shnei Seirei Izim, right? And the Mishnah says they have to be exactly alike, same price, or same color, same everything, buy them the same, have exactly alike. And there it says Shnei Seirei Izim. Also, we find by Maaseh Bereishis, Hashem created the sun and the moon, and it says Shnei, there again, Shnei Moros Hagdolim. And then the Torah goes on, the big one was for the day, and the night one, the small one's for the night, and then Rashi asks, what do you mean? You just said two, two big ones, and now one big one small, yeah, because the moon came to Hashem, complained, and he made it small, etc. So it started out with Shnei Moros, Shnei means equal, because they were both great. And later on, Hashem made them one big and one small. There was a maisa with the city, in the city of the Gra, there was a the Rosh Kehillah, he had a daughter, and they made a libel against her. They said she wasn't acting b'tznius, or whatever, it was a total false thing, and they had two false witnesses, come and testified that she wasn't acting properly, etc. So he knew it wasn't true, the Rosh Kehillah. So he brought it to the Grah. He said, what should I do? There was two Edim, they said. So he says, Grah says, bring in the Edim. Let me check it out. So he asked them some questions, whatever. And he said, admit that you're liars. And they said, okay, we admit it. So they came to the Gra after, and they said, "Wow, Ruach HaKodesh! How did you know that they were false witnesses?" So he said, "That's not Ruach HaKodesh." He said, "What?" He said, "The Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kaftes, right, that you're supposed to check out the witnesses, right? You're supposed to ask some questions, Chakira, Choker Doresh. You find out, see if they're telling the truth. So you check them out, and then it says over there that if they're Eidus, even Divrehem Mechuvanim." Then the Eidus is good Eidus. So the Lashon is, their Eidus is a Mechuvanim. So Gras says, why say Mechuvanim? It should have said Shavim. So what's the idea? You ask for witness number one, you interrogate him, put him aside, leaves the room, you ask the second one. So if their Eidus matches, so then you know it's good Eidus. So he says, why did it say Mechuvanim? It should have said Shavim, to see that they're equal. So he says, the answer is, because it's not good if it's equal. Why not? He says, because if Reuven comes in and he says, well, I saw this guy and he had a gun and he shot that, and then he says the whole exact, and then you bring in Shimon, I saw the guy, he had a gun, he shot exactly the same, like mamish, the same tones, intonation, same words, same everything. So that, it sounds a little bit fishy over here, right? It sounds like they, probably set this thing up, which they did. Because if two witnesses have not, they didn't set it up, even though they're going to basically say the same thing, but everybody says things in their own way. It's just natural. Everybody has their own way of explaining something. So if they say exactly the same, laughing, that's a sign that they're not good at it. So Mela, when I asked these two Adam to tell me what happened, they told me exactly, word for word, so I knew it was a script. They made it up. So that's, I learned from the Lashon over there, Chazal, and Mechuvanim. So as the word goes, it says that... That's another hint to this in the Torah, because it says al pishnayim edim, and not al pishnei edim. So why shnayim? Because we said when it says shnei, it means totally equal, whereas shnayim means it's not equal. So it's dafka shnayim edim, because if they are exactly equal, that's a sign that they're not good edim. So it has to be dafka a shnayim edim and not shnei. Only problem is just before the shir. When I was just looking at the pasuk over there in Shoftim, it says Shnei Edim. But the real pella is, look in Rashi, Rashi says Shnayim Edim. So the girsa in the Torah is Shnei Edim, Rashi says Al Pi Shnayim Edim. So I didn't have a chance to clarify that, so you can see your homework. Anyways, another example, right? It says by Yeshua, it says he sent shnayim miraglim. He sent shnayim miraglim. Again, you don't say it like to send two miraglim. You say he sent shnayim miraglim, not shnayim. Okay, once again. So what did we say? The word is when it says shnei, it's they're equal. Shnayim means they're not equal. So it seems to me mashma, they're not equal. Sure enough, what's shot that when these two miraglim came to Rachav, right? They came to Eretz Yisrael. They went to Rachav. So she took them in, and then they're coming. The authorities were coming to run after them. So she hid them. So it says over there, v'titz beno, and she hid him. Shouldn't have said there's two of them. Should have said she hid them. Titz menem, not no. So the Midrash tells us because one was a human being, the other one was a malach. So Mele, she only had to hide the human being. So therefore it says in singular. Ah, now it's beautiful. That's why it says when Yeshua sent shnai miraglim, not shnei, because they were not equal. One was a malach, one was a human being, Mele, shnaim, and not shnei. Therefore, back to our question that we began with, and that is, why does it say by the Kruvim, Shnaim Kruvim, it should have said Shnei Kruvim, right? The two angelic figures that were on the Kaporos, on top of the Aron, right? That they were facing each other, whatever. Why Shnaim Kruvim, it should have said Shnei, right? They're two the same. Here it says they were not the same. It says that one had the face of a boy, and one had the face of a girl. The Melech, since they were not exactly the same, therefore it doesn't say Shnei Kruvim, but rather Shnaim Kruvim. One last idea for tonight. It says by the menorah, we see some menorahs, Av Torah, etc. So there's a midrash that says that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to make the menorah, but Moshe Rabbeinu had trouble. He had difficulty making the menorah, and Hashem showed him, but he couldn't do it. So in the end, he gave it over to Bezalel, and Bezalel did it. So, question is asked, that's a little bit strange. You know, who is greater, Moshe or Bezalel? Moshe, of course. So, how could it be that the great Moshe Rabbeinu, it was difficult, couldn't do it, couldn't handle it. And yet, Bezalel is much, as Talmud, much less than him, he was able to do it. So, the Admor Migur, the Ger Rebbe, said that he had this kasha for 40 years. 40 years didn't understand this midrash. Until Maisa Shehaya. What happened? He had a son-in-law who was ill, and he went to a certain city, whatever, to have an operation. It wasn't a major problem, it was a pretty standard operation. So he went through the operation, and there were complications in the operation, this problem, that problem, whatever. In the end, he was okay, but it was wasn't so pasha. So he was after the operation, he wasn't not doing so well. So the Ger Rebbe came to visit. So he met with the doctor, the surgeon, and discussed, what happened. So he says, Rebbe, I'll tell you what happened. Let me give you a mushel. The Rebbe says, hey, I'm the rabbi. I give the mushel. He says, no, let me give you a mashal, Rabbi. He says, there was a king, and he had this very valuable diamond, jewel, whatever it might be. The only problem was it had a little imperfection. It needed to be polished, take off. So what happened? They gave it to an older queen. I want to get a top jeweler in the country, to polish this, to get this imperfection off. So he says, I'm not touching that diamond. The king's diamond? Are you kidding me? No way. I'm not getting near that thing. So they took another one. Nobody wanted to get near it. So he said, what are we going to do? So somebody had a bright idea. Everybody's scared because they're scared. So we'll give it to somebody who doesn't, realize. So they gave it some pusher to jeweler. Oh, okay, fine. Take rid of it. He took care of it. No problem. Not a real problem. It's that everybody was so scared to touch it because they knew it belonged to them. So the doctor told the Ger Rebbe, also was a mice like that with the with Napoleon. That his wife was supposed to give birth, and they needed a midwife. Same thing happened, right? Napoleon's wife helping. Nobody wanted to be her midwife. Everybody's scared. What chas v'shalom? Something happens. Oh boy, I'm going to be in big trouble. Nobody wanted to do it. So then, same thing. They went to some small village. They got the local midwife over there. She says, "No, Napoleon's wife. Who's Napoleon's wife? That's no." And she did it. No real problem, right? So he said, same thing over here. He said, the truth is, the surgery was a pretty, standard surgery. I've done it 100 times before. But when I heard this was the Rebbe's son-in-law, I was like, oh my gosh, Rebbe's son-in-law, all of a sudden I got nervous, and as I saw him, I make a mistake. And as of that, I couldn't just do my normal thing. I was so nervous, and sure enough, I ran into problems and that because I wasn't relaxed, and because I knew who it was, right? So the Rebbe, he heard that after this mice, he says, oh, now I understand the Midrash, this Pasha. Right? We asked, how could it be Moshe couldn't make the menorah, but Yibetzalo could? Same thing. Lefech. Tafka, because Moshe was such a high level, and he knew all the soidos of the menorah, the prachim, and the things, and all the parts of it, and what they represent, and all in Shemaim, all these, because he was such a high madriga, so he couldn't deal with that, right? Because he knew what was involved. So therefore, it's not a kasha how Moshe wasn't able to handle it, but Bezalel was. Bezalel didn't understand it like Moshe did. It's like the Pashto person, you know, so to speak. So he was able to handle. It reminded me of also similar Maisa, that there was a Rosh Hashanah, there was some shul, there was a Rebbe, a Chasheva Rebbe, and he was supposed to, you know, blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah. So he gets up there, you know, says the brachas, whatever, and he couldn't get a sound out. He kept trying, but he's waiting, you know, embarrassing, you know. He kept trying, and he just couldn't do it. So, gotta hear the shofar. So he says, is anybody out there, you know, who knows how to blow the shofar? So there happened to be some Pashita musician there, you know, whatever, like trumpet player or whatever. He goes, I'll give it a shot, you know. So he said, okay, here, they give him the shofar. Dude, perfect, you know, everything great, you know, loud and clear and everything, all the truas and tias and no problem, you know. Anyway, so they came to the Rebbe afterwards. They said, how could that be? You know, the Rebbe was not this Pashita guy, you know, he was able to blow a shofar. So he says, exactly what we said. This is laughing. That's all I, because I know what the shofar is, what it represents, and to involve with the Satan and the Kavanas, and that it's good. I couldn't blow the shofar. This other guy, how's he know? Kavanas, Shemana, no problem. You know, for him, it's just a horn. You know, no problem. Therefore, different story. So to Shem, we should all be zoichet to hear the shofar gadol l'cheruseinu and see the binyan beis hamikdash and coming Mashiach tzidkenu b'mehira v'yameinu. Amen.